broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
Welcome, everybody, to this week's episode of Refresh Your Wealth, building your dreams, saving taxes, talking legal, just everything you need for your business. My name is Mark Kohler, your co-host with my amazing partner, Matt Sorensen, in the house.
Yeah, baby, in the house, in the office, in the office, actually, but
Yeah, in his office.
In the house.
That's right. We both dial in remotely for this podcast. I'm in Rexburg, Idaho.
The thriving metropolis of Rexburg.
That's right. Living the Main Street dream. Matt Sorensen is in Phoenix. Some of you may have heard about it.
It's kind of the Valley of the Sun. Valley of the Sun. Great place to be this time of year, by the way.
Yes, it is.
Don't want to rub it in, but I did not scrape the ice off my windshield this morning like you did.
Yeah. Well, my car was in the garage last night with brisk 8 degrees last night. So
okay, good for you.
Took the dog out to go to the bathroom and the dog's like, nah. I'm not doing that. It's like, put me in the garage. I'll pee on your garage floor, but I am not going out.
This is not.
So even my dog is kind of throwing a fit.
I don't blame him.
Yeah, he's protesting. So anyway, we are coming to you on YouTube now with our video recording. For those of you that want to catch video of us, we have faces for radio, but we're going to just push the envelope. We're risk takers.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, you see a car accident, you want to look and see what happens. Same thing. Just catch us on YouTube.
Some may refer to our show as a car accident. I hope not. Maybe.
Train wreck, maybe.
Maybe. Hopefully it's, you know, Ford versus Ferrari winning that, you know.
Great flick.
Feeling when you watch
the show. Two thumbs
up. Yeah, two thumbs up. So anyway, Matt and I are tax attorneys, and we specialize in small business. And for those that are regular listeners, thank you for being here. Last week I was not with you. I was in Mexico, which Matt caught up to later. It was really ironic. We both planned trips down to Mexico. We do not fly on the same planes. That would be a very bad business risk.
Yeah. Business continuity plan was not, you know, that did not jive. So yeah.
We barely ride in cars together, maybe a golf cart together, but
yeah.
If both of us died in an accident, we'd have a lot of disgruntled employees. So we have to
keep it
real. So anyway, I was down in Mexico, and Matt, I've just got to say, I was very disappointed. I'm about 10 pounds away from my target weight, and I was hoping I'd get down to Mexico and nail it. I was trying to eat every street taco I could and
drinking the water.
I was drinking water. I'm like, what happened to the good old days in Mexico? You know, where you come back with a little Montezuma revenge and you're like, man, that's what I needed to get over that hump in my diet plan. Yeah. But nothing. They've cleaned up their act, I guess. I'm just really frustrated. Did you have any lingering effects from your trip to Mexico?
No. I mean, it was amazing. The guac was fantastic. Yeah. Cabo was great. Had a great time. Happy to be back though. And, I mean, I was even working on Saturday, you know, did a little speaking Saturday. It was a good time.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a little side tax tip before we get to our regular weekly tax and legal tip. The all-inclusive in Mexico, and if some of you are worried about the security risk of going down to Mexico, there you can go to the U.S. Department Homeland Security and several websites that indicate which areas to stay out of in Mexico. But the Baja Peninsula, that little piece that comes off from California, for those that aren't too familiar with Mexico, our East Coasters that are more used to Key West and Florida, this is the little slice of Mexico that's off on the Pacific side. And it is very safe, cleared by the U.S. Department for safe travel. And it is great food. And it's a great tax write-off. So if you try to do a cruise ship, there are a lot of limitations. And so the all-inclusive, and I know, Matt, your trip was more business-oriented, complete tax write-off. Mine was a little more R&R, but it's great tax write-off, those all-inclusives. So
yeah,
stay away from the cruise.
Well, enough of our endeavors in Mexico. Today we got a pretty cool topic, one that is getting more and more popular, and that is, what do I do now that I set up my entity online? And
the DIY.
And we'd love you to set it up with us, but for whatever reason, not everyone does what we like. So they go do it on their own.
Sounds like the teenagers.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's okay. We want to still give you some guidance, let you know what to look out for, what should you be doing next. And so that's what we're going to hit today. Big topic. Really the company you have for your business or your real estate investments. I mean, this is the foundation that you're building your business or your assets, your real estate upon. So let's make sure it's done right. You know how to operate it. You got the right one. So we're going to break that down today in the podcast.
Yeah. And we're very understanding. It's ironic. Yesterday at around 4 o'clock, I had a college student, one of my classes swing in, and he's like, I just set up my entity on the state website. I'm like, yeah, dude. And I was about to give him a lecture. Then I'm like, hey, it's a college student. You know, they're living, you know, top ramen meal to top ramen meal. And I get it. And so he's like, what do I do next? And that kind of spurred on my suggestion with Matt to do a show on this, because we do, all of our attorneys and paralegals get that phone call. I went online, even to one of the more reputable sites online, and you pay for your LLC or you pay for your corporation. And then you're like, okay, what do I do next? That can't be all. And you know, it isn't all. Deep down, you know, there's more you need to do, but you're trying to save money. And I get it. So again, we're going to go through that. I'll send a lot of clients to this podcast to just say, hey, listen to this podcast. So you get the, you know, the DL on
you don't
the DIY.
Pay first by the hour. We get it. It's okay.
How'd you like that?
It's all right.
We're going to give you the DL on the DIY.
Yeah, I'm hip. I thought that was very
hipster.
I'm going to try and throw in an acronym of something cool and I totally do it. I don't know.
It was contrived.
I was like, it's very cool. Good job. Okay. Well, before we get into the topic, the main topic, we always want to give you a tax and legal tip. And I get the pleasure of the legal tip today, which I am ready for.
Okay.
Would you like me to go first?
You go for it.
Okay, all right. Let's play some cool guitar.
A legal tip that you can actually use.
A legal tip where you don't feel like you have to take a shower after.
All right. The legal tip today, I want to talk about leases in your business. Getting a lease for your business, whether you have, if you have a storefront or an office, I just want to talk about a couple important things to look out for in your lease. One of the first things to make sure when you're getting a lease.
Now, is this commercial or residential? I'm already lost, man.
Commercial.
You know?
Yeah, okay. Commercial. I said for your office or your storefront.
Okay.
Yeah, for your
business. And I'm the tenant.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And you can get lost if you're not paying attention. So
I'm drinking a Rockstar just to keep up with you, but I just want to make sure. So in your example, we are the tenant with our business.
You're on video, so everybody saw you looking at your phone. We have the video evidence now. So yeah, you got to be careful.
Okay, Matt, what are you talking about? Okay. So you're, but I want to get this. You're the tenant.
Yeah.
In a commercial lease with your business. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Yep. Keep rolling. I'm liking it.
You're a tenant.
I'll be paying attention here. Go ahead.
So, okay. All right. I'm playing Candy Crush. all right. First thing, there's a couple of varieties on a commercial lease. You can do something called triple net as a tenant. There's also getting more and more popularity, which is modified gross. Now, the two big differences between those is triple net is essentially a lease where you're paying a base rate of rent, plus you pay the additional cost that the landlord has on the space for taxes, insurance, and common area maintenance. Well, that's kind of crappy for you as a tenant because you're paying the landlord's insurance, you're paying the landlord's property taxes on the property or your allocation of the building, and you're paying their common area maintenance, all the lobby or their landscaping around it. So you're getting foot the bill on all that, plus you're paying rent. So now generally your rent rate is lower, of course, here, but you're paying all the costs that the landlord has. So you got to be careful that you understand the lease you're entering into, because a lot of times people, you know, new business owners or people leasing a commercial or a storefront for the first time, they don't even read the whole thing. They just look at, okay, the rent's this much a month and da, 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 and then they get their first rent. They make the first rent payment or they get an invoice for rent and they're like, wait a second, what's all this? Oh, that's the triple net. Crap. I didn't know I had to pay that. I mean, I didn't read the fine print that I was responsible for all these things. So Be careful that you know whether it's triple net or not. Modified gross is the other popular one, which is more of a flat rate rent. And that basically is the landlord's covering even your utilities in the property. You may be paying for internet. They're covering everything else. So you're paying a flat rate of rent, and you're only paying additional costs if their costs go up. So you kind of get a floor of what their costs are. And if their costs go up in the building, your costs, you'll pay that incremental cost for your space. But it's a much more predictable way to pay rent. So just watch out for that. Make sure you understand the type of lease you're getting when you're leasing space for your business or storefront.
Well, with your tip, Matt, I just got the feeling we do need to do a whole show on commercial leasing. It wouldn't hurt. You know, just take both sides of the equation as the landlord or as the tenant. There is so much involved. I just was thinking about so many of the issues that can happen. And they're more expensive leases. They're thicker leases paper-wise. Mm-hmm. There's more provisions to be aware of. It's not only understanding what you're paying for, it's also what you're getting and how you get out of these leases. What happens if you need to shut down your business? Definitely a lot. And a lot of people are like, well, I'm not going to sign it personally. I'm going to let my company sign it. Yeah. Well, good luck with that. You know, so unless you're Target, not going to happen.
Right. Yeah.
So, well, great tip. So understand the terms of the financial square footage and payment and the different versions that exist. Don't be afraid to negotiate. Talk about it. Mm-hmm. I like it. Good tip.
Yep.
Very good, man. I give that a probably 4.5, maybe 4.75 star. You know, it's hard to come up with a 5-star.
That's fair. There's always something. You're very, you know, you're kind of a tough judge, so that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah. Speaking of judges, I don't know. We're going to probably mock me tomorrow, on next week's show, because tomorrow I have a trial. That's right. Mark Kohler is going to court. I've been just absorbing Law and Order all week and trying to prep, watch My Cousin Vinny, A Few Good Men.
Yeah.
I'm ready to roll.
Yeah. I got probably 5 years of jokes speaking last time Mark went to court. So if anything, it is some good material.
I will just say
Mark's doing a good thing. It's a pro bono cause. Just, you know, Mark will not go to court for you. This is a special deal. And you probably don't want him to, but he's helped doing a little pro bono.
Oh, I'll go to court for you. It's up to you.
Yeah. No, you're a loss.
Yeah. See, you know, thank you, Matt. I appreciate that. Your vote of confidence will bode well tomorrow when I'm giving my opening
argument. I'll hype you up. I'll hype you up later once we're off the podcast. But for now, the jokes are more important.
Thank you. Yeah. Sure. I'll be the butt of your jokes. We're here on the show. But you know, I've got to say this just because I want many of you to have confidence in this show and what we talk about and what I say. I humbly state, I am a master in the boardroom. I am a business attorney. I get deals done, people happy, high fives, win, 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 IRS lose. That's my forte. Love it. I'm good at it. The courtroom versus the boardroom are two different worlds. And yes, this is a pro bono case. So for those who don't know what that means, it's for a person that has no money and they're getting really taken advantage of. And they talked me into it. And my wife, it's a friend of my wife. So there you go. There's the story and how I got wrangled into this. So when I was going to bed at 4 a.m. last night, why are you up so late? Remember that little, you know, help job thing you wanted me to do for your friend? It's consuming my life. So
you're a good dude.
Tomorrow's the big day. All right. I got a sweet tax tip.
A tax tip you can actually understand and won't put you to sleep.
A tax tip that could save you thousands.
Okay, tax tip is on the mortgage interest deduction. Now, this affects a lot of you on the show today, whether or not you own a small business. This is the itemized deduction for mortgage interest on your own home. Now, there's two groups out there that you can take notes and share it with a friend or family member at a dinner party. If no one's talking to you at the hors d'oeuvre table, this could be a hit. But there's two groups where you really don't need to worry about this. One, you're a renter. Maybe you live in an urban area. You're just getting going in your life and you haven't purchased a home or a condo or a townhome yet, and you're renting. That's cool. You could begin very successful financially and buying homes that you're as a landlord, but you rent your own place because it's more efficient. You live in an urban area like a Chicago, a Seattle, and you're like, man, I can rent cheaper than buying. Mm-hmm. The second group out there are those of you that are no longer itemizing. Under the new Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, you've got this $24,400 standard deduction if you're married, $12,200 if you're single. That's a big write-off. And that allows many, many people, and I think they've estimated close to 30 million people that would have normally itemized to now just take the standard. So even if you do own a home, you're like, well, I mostly pay down the mortgage. It's not a big mortgage. There's not a lot of interest. I don't have a lot of charitable deductions. Boom, I'm just going to take the standard. So if you're doing the standard deduction or you don't own a home, then you don't care about the mortgage interest deduction. But there's still millions of Americans and many of our listeners that are successful. They've got a larger level of income. They may be giving to charity and they own a home. So they're going to need to know this rule. So here it is. The good old days under the mortgage interest deduction, you could take the interest on up to $1 million worth of mortgages, first, second, refis, and then the interest on even another 100 grand of mortgages that was just refi or home equity loans. The interest deduction was pretty darn liberal, and you're good to go. Great write-off. First, second homes, and your RV could qualify as a second home. All these little things that were pretty nifty.
Yeah.
And now under the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, and I've written an article on this in the blog. Please get over there this week, and I'll have a new YouTube video out on that on this in the next 48 hours. But just a quick summary, under the new law, the limit is now $750,000 or $325,000 if you're single, $750,000 if you're married, worth of mortgages. So that's point number one. If you go out and get a home loan that's greater than $750,000, you can't write off the interest on the proportion of mortgage over the $750,000. Single, $325,000. Now, some would argue this is going to hit the middle upper class, and that's true. Those that are buying more expensive homes in more expensive areas of the country, you're not going to get as much interest deduction as you thought. Now, two points, and then I'll let you read the article because there's a lot to this, is first, there's a grandfather clause. So if any of you had a mortgage that was up to $1 million before December 19th, 2017, you can still take the interest on the entire million. But for anybody acquiring a new loan, you're shot. You've got to go stick with the lower level of combined loans. If you refi an old loan, you're still grandfathered in, but it can't have credit card debt or cruise or some travel paid off in that refi. The refi has to be for the same amount of the mortgage before you went into the process of the refinance. And I will just say finally, it's only on your primary residence or the money purchase mortgage on a second home. You can't refi your home, take out equity, and go buy a second home. You've got to buy the second home with a new mortgage in order to get that loan in the mix. So there's a few technical points. Some of you may be scratching your head going, dang, oh my gosh, those are some interesting changes. Again, just type mortgage interest Kohler in Google. You'll see the article. You'll see some bids. And you can get into the minutia quickly. But and what brought this up? I had a client that did their own tax return. And they came to us as a new client and said, I'm getting audited. And they threw in their home mortgage, their second home mortgage interest, and their RV mortgage interest. And under the old law, they would have been fine. But under the new law, they were not. Mm. And the IRS computers catch this quickly because it's kind of easy to see when someone's being a little too much with the interest because it's pretty straightforward with the areas you're going to be in the IRS computer. They got tagged. They got audited. The penalties were close to $3,000. Now, the amazing law and accounting firm here at our firm, we got them out of the penalties, but they still paid the tax on that proportion they weren't supposed to deduct. So that was a reminder of just a recent client that came to our office that was facing that issue. So that's the tax tip.
That's kind of a bummer, though, I got to say.
So what's it's four-star? Four-star then?
Yeah. I'll give you a 4-star. Very applicable, though. And that's obviously, most people are taking that in one form or another. We're just going to be taking it in the shorts more.
See, I should have got a bigger, I should have got more stars than you. You're about a commercial lease. How many of our clients have a commercial lease compared to be taking the mortgage interest deduction?
Yeah. Yeah. So, my delivery was a little better, though.
I'm just saying. Oh.
So,
all right. You get style points. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah. So, better execution.
Okay. Cool.
A higher degree of difficulty, too. So, all right. Of course, we're kidding. All right, well, let's get into the what next. I set up my entity online, what next conversation. And Mark and I are just going to bounce back and forth on this, on the considerations to think about. And I've kind of got the first one out of the gate that when someone comes to me and says, kind of, like Mark kind of framed it earlier, I went online, I set up my entity. What do I do? And the first thing I think about when that happens is, what did you get? It's kind of like you're getting a car for your business, maybe. Like, did you buy a dump truck and you really needed a, something more efficient? Toyota Corolla was more the right buy for you. And like, do you have the right vehicle? That's what I'm getting at here. Is this entity you're going to be driving around your business with for the next 10, 20 years? Do you got the right thing? And so that's generally where we start of, did you set it up right? Even before we get into what you start doing next, I just want to be like, did you get the right thing?
I like that. I'm going to make a list here on a yellow pad because I'm a yellow pad geek. And so the first issue is confirm with a professional. Did you even get the right entity when you went online? And yeah, you may save some bucks going online, but you still want to get kind of a double check of just, did I do the right thing? And maybe you'll pay for some advice there, but it could be cheaper than having that professional set up your entities, but you want to confirm that. I like that. Get second opinion.
Yeah. As many of you know, if you've listened to our stuff on entities, we're generally going to go S corporation for those that are operating businesses, providing goods or selling services, or we're going to go LLC for investments, assets, stuff like real estate, rentals, things like that. There's a lot of variation in there and bells and whistles and some few unique state issues and such, but that's quick rule of thumb. That's what we're going to be looking for. S corp operational business, LLC, rental or investment assets.
All right. Okay. Now the second thing I would, and we're going to keep a list, Matt. We'll see how many we come up with.
All right.
Second point is, before we go into a few more of the practical tips of what to do next, just have the awareness that you're not done. You're not finished with one sheet of paper or an online filing. Once you at least accept that, then you're on the right track. It's kind of like, I'm an alcoholic. Step one, I get it. I'm there. Right. I admit it. So I went online, I did my DIY entity, and just know you're not finished. And so many people, just getting to that hurdle is a big step. And some of you listening are like, and here's the argument I get all the time. Well, Mark, with an LLC, you don't need all that corporate paperwork or minutes and all that. And it's in the law. I don't have to have it. Mm-hmm. Very key word there. You don't have to have it. That's right. In most jurisdictions, the state law does not require you have that. But do you think it's a good idea? Do you think if you go to court, you're going to need it? Oh, you're darn right. You're going to get your crap together the night before because you knew you cut corners. Yeah. And that's why example, if you go to the dentist, is it against the law that you don't floss? No, the dentist is not going to say you have to floss, but should you? Absolutely. And you're going to have problems if you don't. So,
yeah, I love our analogies today. We're,
we're nailing
this, getting the right car. I mean, whatever it takes, guys, we go deep. We go deep on this, whatever it takes to make a point. Had another example on, just giving an operating agreement for your LLC or some of these extra documents. I had a client that had bought a rental property, got it deeded into the LLC, fine enough, but was trying to sell it and the title company would not sell it. They're like, where's the operating agreement for your LLC? Well, I don't have to have one. Here's my articles. And the title company is like, we're not letting you sign this or do this until you give us an operating agreement. So we obviously produced an operating agreement for the client. Title company's like, thank you for doing that. And, you know, let him sign off on the deed and sell the property. And so you're going to run into this at different places, whether it's banks or title companies or county recorders, other third parties, if you deal with vendors or, you know, you're trying to get inventory or lines of credit, they're going to ask you for this stuff because it's what you're supposed to have. Do you have to have it? No. But if people want to do business with you and believe in your business that you're legit, they're going to ask for this stuff.
Yeah, I like it. And number three, let me now notice again, Matt and I are still big picture here because
we'll hit the details.
Yeah, because, and we'll come to the details, but think about this. If you say, I just want to open my bank account, shut up and tell me what I've got to do to get my bank account going. Well, hold on. Here's another issue. When you get that second opinion, if you set up the right entity and you know you need more pieces and parts and you know that you don't have to, but it's a really good idea. So we're there, right there. The next question is, how did you set it up? Maybe the LLC was the right move, but did you do member managed? Did you do manager managed? Do you have your personal address out to the world? Did you use a mailing address, a PO box? Is there a privacy strategy that you need to employ? And a lot of people have this slap in the face reality of, oh my gosh, you're right. When I went online, I put my address out there to the world. I don't want that. And so again, it really is a subtle point, but maybe you got the right entity, but you do it in the right way. Even just the articles. And this is where you can jack up an LLC really quickly by doing member managed rather than manager managed. We never set up a member managed LLC. And I know someone's listening right now going, well, that's how I did it. Well, I don't know if we want to get into it, but I can tell you why it's wrong. You know, so
yeah.
Privacy, third point.
Okay. Okay. You want to start getting the details?
Sure. Okay. Do whatever you want. You're the co-host.
All right.
Okay. I'm the host. You're the co-host.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I don't know what that means. But,
yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
It just sounded good.
Yeah. I'm Batman. You're Robin. I don't know what that means.
Okay. Sword cuts both ways. I need to take that. Fair.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, the first thing that you're going to want to make sure you have, and it's going to come up when Mark mentioned, I just want my bank account. I want my freaking bank account, is they're going to ask you for your tax ID or EIN. That's the same thing. Sometimes called a tax ID, sometimes called employer identification number. So you're going to need that when you set up the entity. Now, one of these things is going to happen when you set up the EIN. A lot of times you're going to decide how you're taxed when you get that. You're going to say, are you a sole proprietorship? Which means your income is going to go on to Schedule C, or it could be or E. Are you a partnership? Maybe you've got someone else in there. Is this another partner? Is it your spouse? Who else is in the company with you? If you set up a corporation, you know, you might have other considerations. By the way, if you set up a corporation, you're automatically going to be a C Corp. So keep some of these things in mind when you're getting your EIN, that there's some tax implications going on. You need to know, what's my tax strategy? What type of tax classification do I want my entity to be? And a lot of times this is going to take additional paperwork above and beyond just getting the EIN.
Yep. I love it. Sorry for the...
So now the EIN is what the bank's going to ask for.
Yep. Sorry about some of this distracting calls coming in through my cell phone here. I didn't... for those that are hearing that, I apologize. I want to add to the EIN. By the way, this call, this is why some of this is coming in. Hey, we're full disclosure here. It is tax season. I'm talking to my publicist, trying to get everywhere I can be to help spread the good word about tax planning and strategies. And that was a New York number of a producer for a TV show. So I'm trying to stay on top of things like that, even in during our important Refresh Your Wealth show. So good stuff. On the EIN, the form that you're going to use is called the SS4. So SS as in Secret Service 4. You can get your EIN online at irs.gov. Sometimes you can't do it online. There might be a piece or part of information you're missing, and you might have to fax it in. that can happen. Even our paralegals struggle sometimes in certain situations where you can't just get the EIN online. Sometimes the IRS database is down. So, and on that note, some people say, well, I don't have to have an EIN. I'm a single member LLC. And that's true. You could use your social. And that's cool. But when you go down to the bank, the 19-year-old across from you at the desk, their brain's going to explode when you tell them, well, I'm a single member LLC. I'm just going to use my social. And then their face will go white and they buzz their manager. And now you've got three people like, standing around.
I can't get past this screen on my computer system to set up your account unless you tell me what your EIN is.
I know.
Yeah. So good luck.
Yeah.
There. So, and that's why, you know, when we set up your entity, we actually do what we call a bank packet. We give you the documents that the bank's going to ask for in that process. And that's going to be your articles, or sometimes for corporations or certificate of organization, and some states call that for LLCs. And then, of course, your tax ID or EIN, which again are one and the same.
Yep. I like it. Now, while we talk about tax ID numbers, remember there's different fruit in the fruit basket here. We've got different types of EINs. You might need a sales tax ID number. I had a client recently that said, hey, you got my EIN, but no one knows what it is and it doesn't work. I'm like, what are you talking about? And after 10 minutes, I figured out, you're trying to buy product wholesale at Costco. You need a sales tax exempt ID number, and you're going to have to start collecting sales tax when you sell your product. And they're like, oh, and you need a different ID number for that. Also, if you're going to process payroll, even for yourself in an S corporation, you've got to get a state tax ID number. So there's different ID numbers that may come up. Again, why the DIY entity can be a little dangerous, because you don't know what questions to even ask. So remember that the tax ID number topic can involve multiple different types of tax ID numbers, and you need to look at what your type of business is all about. Now, Matt, I'm going to bring another one. This is number five onto the plate. Business license. Had a question about this a couple of weeks ago. They're like, hey, I set up my entity online. Do I need to get my business license? Well, it depends. I'll be honest. If you're doing an online business, working out of your basement in your underwear, eating cereal, doing, you know, affiliate sales on eBay or on Amazon, you're not going to need a business license. The local city or county is not going to care. But if you have a storefront facility, you've got customers walking in, you've got employees walking in, and you have a commercial location, a lot of times even the landlord is going to ask for a copy of your business license, and you're going to need a business license in order to basically not get fined by the city or county. It's kind of a pain in the butt. They're cheap and easy, but you got to think about it.
Yeah, that's a fill in the blank form. And it's different because it's at the city level. So even if you went to the state website and set up your entity, some states have their own little websites that'll set up your entity. Even if you did that, you still got to get a separate little, go to a city that you're located in to get the business license. A lot of times it's $25. You fill in the blanks, and you know, it's just a revenue source, frankly, for cities. So
I love it.
Now, of course, there's different businesses, you know, if you're selling, you got a restaurant, you need an alcohol or liquor license. You know, there's some other businesses that are a little more, you know, maybe a strip club or something like that too, you know, whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
Those require separate special licenses.
Matt, I love that you brought that up, because I had a meeting with
a strip club,
a phone caller. Oh, I've got a good strip club story. Boy, wow. Right there. Can you let that one go? You can't even throw that out there without tying that loose end up.
That could be dangerous.
Okay, but on the licenses, I had a phone call yesterday from a client that did a DIY entity, and they're like, I'm getting my contractor's license. Should I do it in the name of the entity or my own personal name? One of my first questions was, do you have partners? Are you 100% owner of the company? Are you the qualifier for the entity, or are you a solo entrepreneur? So your contractor license, your liquor license, your business license, are you a dentist, a doctor, an engineer? Do you have a professional license that goes with it? A lot of times, even as an accountant, when I go to register with the state, they want to know the name of my entity, and they're going to register the entity, and they're going to require a certain type of entity and a certain type of articles.
Yes. So,
and this is where people do the DIY. An LCSW, that's a licensed clinical social worker. They, a lot of times, have private practices, and they're going to need an S-Corp. They listen to our show, and then they go just set it up online. Well, the State Division of Professional Licensing that licenses LCSWs, they may not like the LLC in your state. They may not like the articles you filed. You're like, darn it. And you get mad at someone. Yeah. Well, the reality is you're cutting corners. So deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Good caution. If you have a professional license or in a licensed industry, like a contractor or something like that, and there's varieties from states on how they handle this. Even a real estate agent, make sure you got the right entity set up, because it might be a professional entity. There could be ownership restrictions on whether non-licensed people can be owners with you or not. So tread lightly in that area. Make sure you're researching it. You're on your own. If you're doing it, you know, you're doing all the legwork, or you're dealing with a professional that's done it before.
Okay. Okay. I'll just wrap it up quickly. When I was in college, I had a janitorial business. For 7 years, my wife and I, we worked in a janitorial scenario. We had a carpet cleaning van. We did windows. We did stripping and waxing of floors. We did restaurants, grocery stores, buffing floor. I mean, we did that for 7 years to get through undergrad. And I learned the hard knocks of small business ownership. While Matt blazed right through undergrad and law school, I had a small business and it took me twice as long. And that's cool. I learned things and Matt learned things that I didn't learn. You know, everybody has a different trail in life. Mine was a janitor for 7 years while I was going to college. Well, this one day, this guy calls and he's like, hey, I've got a bar and grill and I need to get a bid here for the cleaning. Okay, no problem. You know, we clean all sorts of restaurants, TGI Fridays and all that. And so he's like, down here, da, 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 da. I'm like, all right. And I was in a hurry, pulled up in the back of the restaurant. He said, just come in the back door and we're not open for lunch today. Or we're not open at lunch. We're just afternoons and evenings or something, whatever. It was morning. I run in the back door and I look, and right there's the offices. And I knock on the door. Hey, Bob, da, 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 Mark Kohler here. Want to give you a bid on your janitorial. He's like, all right, let's walk around. We walk in. All these stages set up, brass poles.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I'm like, oh, no, this is a little different setup than I imagined. And now some of you guys are like, and you gave him a lowball bid, right? You did it for free. You got your janitor. No, I was very apprehensive of that and going home and telling my wife that our crew was cleaning a strip club was not going to fly and was not appropriate for a good little family.
Yeah,
was
probably a good idea to pass on that one. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but the whole walkthrough and the whole experience is a longer story and it was pretty funny and I was stuttering and just felt very out of place. But anyway, kind of funny. Yeah. I'm a geek. Okay. Yeah. Now,
all right.
The guts. Do you want to start talking? Okay. We've talked about state IDs, tax IDs, business licenses, privacy. Going back to number two, you've got the realization that you need to do more. Do you want to go there, Matt, and say some of the guts you might want in this?
I got one more thing before the guts.
Okay.
Okay. One more thing, which is on the bank account. You do need a separate bank account. Okay.
So good.
If you get to hit the roadblock of the bank won't set it up because they didn't have all my documents, you got to get that crap done. Get the separate bank account. Okay. If you get in a lawsuit and one of the reasons you have an entity is for some liability protection, if you're not having a separate bank account where you're running your income and expense through, a court's not going to treat what you're doing separately. If people are paying you and you're depositing your personal bank account because you were lazy or you didn't get the bank account set up, you're not going to have any liability protection. You need a separate bank account to show that you're treating and respecting the business as a separate entity from yourself. Yeah. Also, use the bank account religiously for income and expense in your business. It's the easiest way to track your income and expense. If you're sourcing down stuff on your credit card or your personal bank account and you're trying to remember what's business and what's personal, you're going to kill yourself. You're going to hate your life. It's a hard way to do bookkeeping. Use your bank account religiously for your business so you'll know and remember that was a business expense. That was a business income. It's going through my business bank account.
I like it. Start your bookkeeping. Constantly talk about QuickBooks Online is a good gateway drug, a great easy way to get started. It's kind of the dumbed down version of bookkeeping. $25-$30 a month and you can access your books anywhere and you start getting used to that. I like you to do banking at your business banking at the same location you do your personal banking. It's going to help you with online banking transfers. A lot of the tax planning we teach after the fact, it makes life a lot easier if your business isn't at the credit union and you're at Wells Fargo. Get them at the same location and it'll make life a lot easier. Okay, on the guts, Let's be a little, I'm going to just rattle this off specifically, and then Matt, you can add and subtract what you'd like. On an LLC versus a corporation, you're going to have a different set of documents. Let's just say LLC first. The LLC is going to have articles of organization. Do not call it people articles of incorporation. They're not. They're articles of organization. You're going to have what's called
a certificate of organization.
Certificate in some states. Very good.
Yeah. Articles. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're going to have an operating agreement, not bylaws. And an operating agreement is much like a partnership agreement, if you have partners, but it's an operating agreement for yourself even. And again, banks and title companies are going to want to see a copy of it. You're going to need it in your book. And if you ever get sued, you're going to want to have that thing signed, sealed, and delivered that you organized your entity properly. You're going to want to have your initial organizational minutes of the managers and members that said, here's, we organized this entity. Here's what we're doing, blah, blah, blah. Again, it's buttoning down the legal asset protection procedures of an LLC. And I'm going to say you should get a corporate book. Now, I call it a corporate book because that's just kind of a general term that everybody's familiar with. But I would probably, the best term to use is an entity book. It's a book that has your membership certificates, your minutes, your operating agreement, your articles, your business licenses, anything that's going on with your business. Use it as a great little filing tool to throw important documents in there. Lease agreements, banking agreements, all that crap can go in your corporate book. We're on video here, so I'm going to show one. Oh, this is funny.
I was going to say, I got a corporate book back on my shelf there.
Yeah. You know, today Matt said, you got to get your microphone higher up for the image. And I said, oh, I got to grab a book. I grabbed a corporate book. Oh, and this is Mark. Now, this is not
this is an old school people. Corporate book.
This is the Mark J. Kohler CPA JD PC. This is my personal corporate book for my corporation. I've got an LLC for a rental property under here. I've got two corporate books to get my mic where I wanted it. But this is a corporate book. And for those watching on YouTube, this is kind of what you want to look for. Is you're going to have a table of contents and you're going to have your articles right here. There's my stamped articles. You're going to have your bylaws. You're going to have your minutes. You're going to have your stock certificates and then a transfer ledger and a place to put a bunch of other crap. You'll have a little seal. Here's my tax ID number. And here's my SS, my 2553, which we'll come to. But anyway, that's what it kind of looks like. So for those watching on video, that can be helpful. You can buy these online for probably $50 somewhere, but then you got to know how to put it together and what you're not going to miss and all that. When we do an entity for a client, we have a paralegal service that's $400. Same price as LegalZoom, but you know you get all the pieces and parts. And you're like, well, LegalZoom says they're $99. Yeah, for that one little piece. If you check all the boxes you're supposed to, you're going to be around $400. So
you're going to be around $600. LegalZoom is more once you add all the things in that we're doing on it, with even without an attorney consult. It is almost 50% more than our paralegal price.
That's true. It's true. So our paralegal setup is $400, which includes some video support
for LLCs.
$450
for corps.
And so you're going to get this package even with a paralegal setup at our office. And if you do the full service, which is around $800 or more, depending on the type of entity, you get time with an attorney over the phone as needed, whatever you need to get it set up and be very efficient. So there's the guts on an LLC. Matt, do you want to add to that or go straight into the corporation and what you'd say the guts are for an LLC? I mean, an S corp or corporation.
Yeah. No, love it. Those are the guts on the LLC as we're calling it. And, you know, you can have an electronic corporate book too, if you're not into the paper, but we want like a good file and system. So you're tracking it, updating it, you know, if you change your address or the address for the business, or you add a partner, or there's, you know, things that go into your minutes every year. You just add those in as you go. It's just a good way to update in the book. And let's change over to the guts in a corporation. In a corporation, you don't have an operating agreement. You have bylaws. And in a corporation, you do have what are called articles of incorporation. Those are the documents with the state that gets approved by the state. So you have articles of incorporation, the bylaws, which is kind of the rules of how the corporation works. This in many ways can operate as a shareholder agreement. If you got other parties that are involved, sometimes you may have a shareholder agreement in an S corporation or any type of corporation where you've got multiple parties. We generally like LLCs for partnership deals rather than corporations, but then you're of course going to have your EIN, your tax ID, and you're going to have a stock ledger, as Mark was showing there, a transfer ledger that shows here's the owners or here's how it, you know, the ownership got transferred. Many times your transfer might be to your own trust, your own estate plan, and you want to document that and update your stock certificate as well. And we do that when we do your estate plan, if we help with that transfer. So now the big thing that this corporation needs, that if you set one up and you wanted to have an S corporation, is you need to have an S corporation approval. And the IRS gives you an S corporation acceptance letter when you apply for it using a form 2553 with the IRS. So you don't just get to pick that or check it on your EIN when you set it up. You've got to ask for it and apply for it separately.
Yeah, I like it. And I'm going to add another piece to the corp. Everything is Matt said right on, spot on, including the corporate book, just like you saw for the LLC. And when you say, what do I need to do? If you're going down that S corp route, you've got to start your payroll process, which again is separate from the bookkeeping that Matt brought up and kind of separate from the state registration, separate from your tax ID number. If you're going to have an S corp, you got to start payroll. And every freaking year of the history of my career, I have someone call me up in February and say, Mark, I watched your video last year. I set up an S corp. I'm so excited. How do I save money for last year with the S corp I set up online? Every year.
Yeah.
And I'm not kidding. Right now we're having those calls every week with our team of attorneys. Yeah. And we have to tell them, you missed the boat. If you're going to set up the S corp, you immediately have to implement the procedure that saves you. And they do. They save you so much gosh darn money, but you've got to follow the procedure. And you can't say, oh, I'll take care of it next spring. No, you can't. So follow the payroll procedure as well if you're going down that S corp.
Yeah. And listen to our show, The Power of the S Corp, which we did maybe 6 months to a year ago. It's in the podcast history. And on the payroll, it's you can be doing just a quarterly payroll, okay? We're not talking about cutting yourself a check every 2 weeks, like at your day job that you may have had, or your W-2 job, and setting up a payroll service at Paychex or the ADP or the big payroll processors, okay? You can just be doing a simple quarterly payroll report, paying yourself as you want from the business, but you got to record that payroll and tell the IRS how much of what you paid yourself was salary or payroll versus how much was just profit or distributions you're taking from the business. So just keep that in mind of what, when we say payroll, what it actually is. We're talking at least a quarterly payroll report to the IRS.
I love it. Okay. And I've got another visual for some of those of you that want to move from Stitcher or iTunes and go over to YouTube and watch this video of our show. Here is my estate planning book. Now, this is right next to, on my shelf to my corporate books. So again, or entity books. I may have some corporation books, some LLC books, and then I have my estate planning binder. Now, when you do a business entity with our firm, we're going to ask you in that consultation, this is why, again, a full service entity for $800 is very, very worth it, because all these questions and more are going to be answered. And we're going to say, do you have an estate plan? And the estate plan should be coordinated with your entity. And again, the DIY folks out there, they're like, what do you mean coordinated? I want your trust to own your entity so that if anything happens to you, the trustee of your family, your trust could be your spouse, or if you're single, is going to handle your business entity, which could be rental properties and all sorts of things. And you don't want them going to your 16 or 14 year old or your crazy brother-in-law or sister, or who knows. Now, in this binder, I have my life insurance policies, all sorts of goodies, and I use it as an organizer. And when you do an entity with us, and you should ask this of everywhere you go, you're going to get a diagram. I'm going to hold it back for privacy purposes. But this little color diagram is something we try to prepare for every client that calls up and does an entity with us. The attorney should get this done for you on the phone in the same consultation for your entity. And if you've got a lot of moving parts, they may charge an extra hour or something to dive in deep on your tax return or create a structure like this. But you're going to have your operations over here. You're going to have your holdings here. You're going to have your trust down here. And this is going to be in my binder. I'm not kidding. If I, heaven forbid, died tomorrow, and I was down in Cabo last week and, you know, fishing for marlin off the
federales, you know, got to you, you know.
I got kidnapped, you know, no one wanted to pay the ransom. probably typical. You know, they're like, how much you want?
Yeah.
Keep them.
You can have them. Yeah. We got the life insurance policies in Mark's estate planning binder.
That's right. Yeah, all right. But if my family or even my business partner, Matt Sorensen, had to come into my office and piece together my life, and people, yeah, it's going to happen. We're all going to die. How organized are you?
Oh, dang
it. I know. And so I know Matt Sorensen would come in here. He would open up this binder and he would see literally right on top my diagram. Mm-hmm. And that's going to give him a visual of, here's all Mark's crap. You know, here's where it's all at. And my binders would be all here. And my family and my trustees would be able to take over my business and run it and sell it or manage it for my beneficiaries. Mm-hmm. Are we talking about $5,000-$10,000? Some corporate headquarters in some small county or in Nevada that's setting up your entities unlimited for $15,000? No. This whole structure of an entity and an estate plan, you can get done for about $2,000, maybe $2,500 max. Mm-hmm. And you're done. And it's tailored to you with a real attorney, with multiple phone calls. So price it, look around. You don't have, this is not an infomercial for us, but when you're doing a DIY entity, I know you're trying to avoid that $5,000 or $10,000 bill. We're not even going to go there unless you've got a multi-million dollar program and it needs it. But
yeah. So I'd say this next tip, when we talk about making sure you have the guts of your documents done, is also making sure that your entity is coordinated with your estate plan.
I like that.
Okay, so you're coordinating that, this, you know, with the documents. If you have your estate plan, your trust, the company is, you know, owned by the trust. And if you don't, we add it in later. So make sure it's coordinated.
All right. Now, couple thoughts. Mm-hmm. Matt, I've been talking a lot, so I'm just going to ask you the question because I know you can answer it.
Okay.
What happens if you're listening to this show and Matt, someone's listening going, I did it. I set up my own entity for $125 online with a company or just went to the state website. How can you guys help me? What are my options? I see I need to get some crap done. Are you going to charge me $1,000 or what are my options?
Mm-hmm. All right. We do have a service called a cleanup. Okay. This is becoming more and more popular as the DIY entity is becoming more and more popular. And I think LegalZoom is going to keep us in business because of the cleanup. So what we call a cleanup is you give us what you did. Here's my documents. I don't know if I did it right or what I'm missing, but just help me. And so we will take in your documents. You can have an attorney consult or you can work with the paralegals. If you're having an attorney consult, you're going to pay a little more, of course, but we're going to look at it and say, here's what you need. Here's what we need to fix. Sometimes we need to file or amend something with the state. Maybe we need to file something to the IRS to change your tax election or something. But a lot of times it's just providing a lot of the guts that we were talking about that you skipped. Maybe giving you some advice on how to operate it properly, changing a thing or here too with the state if needed. And we just clean it up, get you the corporate book that Mark showed you. So you have a system for tracking all this. And then we want to get you on our company maintenance program, because once you have an entity and you get it set up right, okay, you did it yourself. You figured out how to do it. Maybe you listened to this or you got it done right, or we cleaned it up, however you got there. You know it's done right. You need to maintain it properly. This means keeping it active with the state, making sure you're doing your annual minutes, which is the best way to track what the heck's happening. Did I change anything? Do I need to update something? That happens in minutes. So
no matter.
Company maintenance program, it's $150 a year. You got to maintain it properly.
Yeah. And I want to beat this up a little bit more, but I want to create some framework. In Matt's response, he brought up two topics and they're very distinct and different. So let me say it another way for some of you. The first point Matt made was, for some of you that just have the bare bones, you need that cleanup. And that price could range from $400 to $800. If you need some time on the phone with an attorney, you need a paralegal to refile things, you might still spend close to $800 to redo what you did. That's okay.
Yeah.
At least it's done right. It may be cheaper than that. And when you work with the paralegals, they're going to identify based on your questions and your documents and make recommendations as to what you need. We're not looking to soak you. We want to build a relationship and be your attorney or your law firm for many years to come. But we also are going to be true with you and tell you what you got to get your done to get your crap together. That's called the cleanup. Then Matt said, and this is important, for those of you that probably set it up right, you don't need the whole cleanup, but you haven't cracked that book open in 5 years, you've never done minutes, whether it's an LLC or not, Your LLC may not even own your rental property. It may not be coordinated with your estate plan. You know who you are and you're listening. You're like, I don't need a cleanup, but I need to update, get my minutes done. That's called the company maintenance program. $150 will get your most recent minutes done. Make sure you're clean with the state. Get a copy of all your documents. So we've got them on our filing system. And then we're going to remind you every year and keep you in good form. And that's where that state filing and all that maintenance comes. So I wanted to frame that as cleanup and update, two different things. And I don't know, Matt, if you want to add to that.
No, I mean, I'm just trying to tie it all together here.
In that
once you have it set up right and you've cleaned it up or you did it right out of the gun, you then need to make sure you're maintaining it and operating it properly. You know, and this is the last tip I'll get is you need to make sure you're operating it properly. Use your company name when you're doing business. Use it in your contracts. Use it with your vendors. Use it on title to your rental properties, or your real estate, the deals you're doing. Put it on your business card, all right? You are not, Matt Sorensen is not out there doing business anymore, okay? Matt Sorensen's companies are. And those are what's going to be on everything. So operate it. You want that limited liability protection. You're also building your business and that corporate visibility, credit, depending on what you're in. Yeah, corporate credit as well. Awesome. Good, great point. So get it out there. Actually use the entity. Put it in practice.
You know, and there's a lot of teachers out there would think we failed if we didn't bring that up. And that's a big deal. When they say, what do I do next? Some of you that are building an operational entity or a fix and flip company and you need lines of credit and you're paying for hard money and you need to get out of that crazy train, get off that crazy train, you're going to go and apply for a Dun & Bradstreet number, a Paydex score. You're going to start building credit lines in the name of the entity. And you're going to start building that credit worthiness for the entity separate from your FICO score. And that's a whole other process. It's a chapter in my book, The Tax and Legal Playbook. We've got other podcasts on building corporate credit. Listen to those. And Matt, you said something I really liked there. Maintaining your entity. When Matt said to get the title of your properties in your entity, don't worry about the due on sale clause. Just get it done. 99% of the time in all of these mortgage documents, the due on sale clause is actually triggered if you transfer the underlying ownership of the property. If you're just putting it in your trust or putting it in your LLC, the bank's not going to care. Keep making the payment. Mm-hmm. Don't call the banker and ask for permission. Just get it done. And in about 7 to 9 states where there's no state tax, you might have a transfer tax or a stamp tax. That's Florida, Washington State, Nevada. So you want to make sure you're having a title company or one of our paralegals do your deed transfer so that you're checking the right boxes on the county form. There's over 3,500 counties in America, and a lot of these counties have a different form and process to record the title transfer. We have a paralegal for that and very competitive pricing.
Yeah.
So that would be called funding your LLC. You got to get your LLC funded. Gosh, man, this has turned into a bigger list than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Funding, corporate credit, and you brought up maintenance. When you're ready, I'll go through the list.
Okay.
Is there anything else that someone should know if they're setting up their entity DIY that they missed?
Well, there's a lot more. And let's, you know, this is, we're trying
throw
to...
Throw one out then.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we gotta wrap this show up. But the next scheduled
logo building
is about to start. We're cutting into our commercial break here. So what's that?
I got one.
Oh, okay.
When you go set up your entity, did you think about your URL at GoDaddy? Did you think about trademarks? Did you think about the name usage and your marketing plan? Did you think about your logo? Mm-hmm. Again, a lot of people rush out and set up their entity, and then the marketing piece is an afterthought.
Yeah.
So, very important.
Yeah. Good point. The reason I say we will not be able to address everything, obviously.
Yeah,
a lot of the tax considerations we glossed over. What's the right tax election? I don't know. We got to really talk through that. And sometimes there's something that we would start you at that we don't want you at next year. We change you. So,
should your spouse be an owner? Should your kids be an owner?
Yeah. We don't know. Depends. I mean, I don't, you know, and so So that should be dug into whatever profession you're working with, whether it's us or another attorney. Again, this is not a commercial for us. We're busy anyways. Okay. We want to work with you. We'd love your business, but that's not the purpose of this. We weren't trying to educate you so you know what to do, and seek out the professionals when you need them. Consult with your CPA if you don't have an attorney, you know, to make sure if you're kind of DIY. So, because you will surprise them. If, you know, they may come back to you and say, why did you do that? Have a little conversation with them if you at least use an accountant, but you're not using a lawyer.
You made another major point. Let your accountant know what you did. So important. Mm-hmm. So many people set up their entity and even have us set it up for them, and they don't go let their accounting side know about it.
Mm-hmm.
They got to know.
Yep.
Okay. Do you want me to wrap up the list and we'll call it a day?
Let's do it.
Okay. This is the list I have so far. I should really turn this into an article. I think I might. Okay. Oh, boy. Number one, get a second opinion, confirm with a professional that you actually set up the correct entity. Number two, have the realization that you're not finished and there's more to do. Number three, look at the privacy aspect of your formation. Did you put the right addresses down there? Did you maybe put your butt to the wind, do something wrong there on the privacy? Next, consider all the ID numbers.
Privacy, some people are more into privacy than others. Mm-hmm. So keep in mind, many people use their home address on that. Home address is out there.
Yeah. You don't care.
It's up to you. Okay.
You can have you can have tenants knock on your door at 3 a.m. pissed off about the toilet that's not plunged. That's cool. It's up to you. We have mail forwarding services, a virtual mailbox where you get your mail online and very affordable, so you don't have to pay for a P.O. box and drive by somewhere every week or every 2 days. Get your EINs, number four. That means state IDs, federal IDs, sales tax ID, get the right numbers. Number five, business licenses, professional licenses, food handling permit licenses, liquor licenses. Make sure you're coordinating that process with your entity formation, sometimes even in advance. If you're going to be using this entity as a professional entity again, you want to call the Department of Professional Licensing, DOPL, and go, what do you want? I'm a chiropractor. Can I do this, this, or this? Mm-hmm. Number six, get all the guts. Now, that's where LLCs have a certain list of types of documents. S-Corps have their list. We went through that. Number seven, Matt brought up payroll. Make sure you're doing your payroll for your S-Corp if you made that process, if you made that election. Mm-hmm. You need to follow that process. Coordinate it with your estate plan. That's number eight. Number nine, fund your entity. Meaning if you're going to set up an LLC, transfer the freaking properties into it. It's no good if the LLC doesn't own it. Matt, you jump in if you want to add some commentary on any of these that we may miss.
You're doing great. You're doing great.
Number 10, start the corporate credit process if necessary. Now, corporate credit isn't for everybody, but if you're trying to build some corporate credit, get that process going as soon as possible. There's a whole steps to take there. Don't forget your annual maintenance. In my handy dandy monthly calendar that's over here that we sold this year and we're sold out now, some states require a specific month of the year to renew your entity. So I don't even want to pull up a state example. I don't have the list in front of me, but some states require
North Carolina.
March to renew your entity. But you're like, I set it up in November. That's my renewal date. Nope. Not in this particular state. You got to do it on this particular month. So the company maintenance program will keep you out of hot water. Number 12, considering the marketing piece of your entity. Is the name of the entity actually what I'm going to be marketing or not? Am I going to set up a DBA? Am I going to get a URL, a trademark? And consider that in the process. 13, who's really going to own this entity? Is your spouse going to be owner, your kids, your business partner? If you have other owners, it really just doubled down the complexity of your entity because you're not 100% in control. You got to be careful. Number 14, let your accountant know what you're doing so that the accounting side of your process is not missed. And number 15, we did 15. Wow. I like it. Sweet. Yeah. Number 15, Sorensen brought it up again, bookkeeping. Immediately begin your separate banking. And see, notice how in this process, number 15 was setting up your bank account and getting your bookkeeping going. Mm-hmm. But I have people come in my office and they're like, how do I set up my bank account? I'm like, whoa. You got about 10 mm-hmm. other things to think about before we go down and open your bank account.
14, but okay.
Good point, Max Sorensen. Okay, yeah. Bookkeeping. I was just going to say as an aside, and again, this is not an infomercial, but I want to throw it out there. We're there for you. Get pricing. Our law firm sets up your entity, a very streamlined process with a couple hours to 2-3 hours of staff and attorney time in the process, depending on your setup. Do not assume, and I say this kindly and humbly, that our accounting side of our firm, the K&E CPAs, that we're going to be able to take you on as a tax client or a bookkeeping client. Your tax work for your project could be 10 to 20 hours. It's a much bigger commitment. We have a little more, I don't want to say waiting list, but a process. So just don't assume if you work with our firm, we're going to be able to do everything for you carte blanche. We've got to talk about the tax piece of it and if we're a good fit and the timing, the amount of workload and the pricing. And the third thing is what type of retirement account are you going to have tied to this entity? Do you want to get your solo 401k going? Are you going to fund a Roth IRA? Are you going to self-direct? What type of retirement account do you want to fund? And that could dictate the type of entity you set up as well. So mm-hmm. that's our directed IRA side of our equation. You can go to directedira.com and get a quick phone call in to, or look at the website and start your IRA account. Or at the law firm, we can start your 401k process and you talk to Solana. So mm-hmm. I don't know, Matt, that's my, I'm it, 15 things.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is not the, I'll say a couple of closing points. Your entity structure is not one size fits all. Mm. Okay. Also, just because someone else that you heard did it one way does not mean it's the way you should do it for many reasons. One, they could be wrong. For two, they may have a different situation. They may have a different income situation, yep. be in a different state. So don't presume that you're just going to do what someone else did or copy what someone else did. So this is very specific to what you're to, you know, your business, your financial situation, your income levels, your state. And so it's got to be tailored to fit right. So, but the rules we set out, the process, the documents, the considerations are pretty universal. So I hope that's, hopefully that's a good starting point and things for you to be thinking about as you're starting to move forward and operating this business that you just set up online. And it's like Mark said, we're here for you if you need it. We're also not here for you if you don't need it. Either way, we're
here. And we're here for you to at least educate you. And we hope, and we say that humbly, we're always learning and studying and strategizing. Yeah. This year, I could probably make a list of at least 5 things. And I mean this honestly, and a little pat on the back to my amazing partner here on the show with me. I probably learned 4 to 5 things from Matt Sorensen mm-hmm. that I never knew about entity structuring and retirement accounts this year. And you're like, Mark, hold it. You've been around 20 years. I know you look like a millennial, but seriously, 5 things I did. That's why we have to go to 40 hours of continuing education a year. Yeah. And when Matt Sorensen writes a book, I read it because mm-hmm. I'm learning stuff from him. He's and vice versa. I think I can say, Matt, I'm giving you tips, right? That you listen to once in a while, maybe.
Oh yeah.
Life lessons.
Yeah. And I mean, it all started with Mark. I learned all this great stuff from him. So despite, you know, him wearing a flannel shirt to work.
That's true.
Or if you got the video here, you can see the Mark Kohler style versus the Matt Sorensen style. A little different. I got a, you know, white shirt and tie trying to, you know, look like an attorney. Mark is dressing like a millennial. Yeah. But I mean, that's country lawyer. Maybe that's, you know, in Rexburg.
Have you heard the one? I got 2 little cliches here. They're kind of fun. When you go into a business meeting, the person that's the least dressed professionally is typically the one with the money and in control.
Yeah. Yeah.
And number 2, I had learned this lesson and it was so powerful for me. And I remember it all the time. When you're in a business, everybody listen, this could be the money tip of the day. When you're in a negotiation with multiple mm-hmm. parties, and you're sitting at a table strategizing, maybe you're at a Denny's in the middle of the night and you're talking business growth, real estate, import, export, I don't know, online business.
Mm-hmm. Or it could be a Waffle House. People, doesn't have to be Denny's.
Doesn't have to be Denny's. You could be at Ruth Chris. You could be at, okay, you know, really nice restaurant. Who knows?
Okay.
If you can't figure out who the dumb money is at the table, it's you. Now, what I mean by that is, typically in a negotiation with a bunch of people putting money together, there's someone at the table that really doesn't know what the hell is going on, but they've got money and they're there to try to make money, but they're kind of on faith or they don't know really what's going on. If you can't figure out who that is at the table, it's you. So,
yeah.
We're going to drop the pen. Drop the pen. All right. Boom.
Okay. I don't want to add or take away to anything else on this show, but look for Mark Kohler's upcoming article, 15 Considerations After You've Set Up Your Entity Online. I'm looking forward to that because I was not taking notes today. And I want to give just a little shout out to the Self-Directed IRA Summit. Okay. This is April 17th and 18th. Mark and I are speaking both days. It's in Scottsdale, Arizona. It's going to be a heck of a good time. A lot of training. We got some of our bigger account holders doing some classes on how they built their self-directed IRA. We're bringing in the practical things with all the education and training that we do on making sure you're staying tax and legal compliant and doing all the cool structures that people do. So that's SDIRASummit.com, SDIRASummit.com. We'd love to see you there. And there's an early bird special for the next like 10 days. So get on it.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.